in the name of Jesus. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, amen. Yes, please, Lord, please. Bless your name. Bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Yes, bless your name, Lord. Yes, you have, Lord. Thank you, thank you.
So I want to thank Him. I want to praise Him.
Yes, Lord, bless your name. Yes, amen. Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
The river was wide, so I want to thank Him. And I want to praise Him one more.
Yes, Jesus. Amen, Jesus.
He was always there.
Thank you, Jesus.
By my side, when the valley was low, when the river was wide.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I want to thank Him.
Yes, Lord.
I want to praise Him.
Yes, bless the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians 3, and I want to draw your attention to verse 7. We'll read verses 7 through 14. And the thought that I have for you this morning is, it's time to press forward. It's time to press forward. I think if we're all honest, we'd say, you know, that's needful in my own life. And the reason I say that is the Apostle Paul was saying that. If the Apostle Paul could say, I'm straining toward the finish line, I'm stretching myself out, I'm putting all that I have in it, I think every one of us should be able to say the same thing. Amen. And so this is kind of a New Year's type of message, but I think it could be applied almost any time of our life. So please take that into consideration this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul's just listed a pedigree. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, circumcised the eighth day, the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, he goes through the whole list. He kept the law. Concerning the law, he said, blameless in verse 6. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, manure, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also, which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, before we begin, how many of you have heard of sermon or read devotion along this text before? Probably most of us have heard something along this line before, amen? But let me challenge you to approach it this morning and pray that God will just use it to speak to you afresh and anew, amen? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we need you. We need the Holy Ghost of God to come down and to speak to us words of life and to deal with us. Lord, without you, we are blinded to our needs. Lord, we can't see far off like we need to. And we're not fruitful Christians like we ought to be. Lord, we're helpless, and we would be like a sheep that had gone astray. We easily go astray without your help and presence. And so, God, we ask you this morning that you would be gracious to us, that you would speak to us and give us ears to hear. Lord, show us where the Word of God applies to us. And Lord, help us to be able to respond to you this morning, not to a sermon, not to a preacher, but Lord, help us to hear Jesus and respond to Jesus today, that we might do your will in this service. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's interesting to hear the Apostle Paul say these words about not having obtained a certain level of Christian maturity, that there's something more in his Christian life that he was stretching himself out for, that he wanted to know, he wanted to be a part of. When we look at the Apostle Paul, of course, we see perhaps the most mature Christian that has ever been recorded in Christian history. I think Paul is obvious that he gave himself completely to the cause of Christ once he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul wrote most of the New Testament for us. And on many occasions, Paul would talk about his spiritual maturity, not in a boastful way, but in a way that would challenge us to grow and become more like Christ ourselves. He said to some, "Follow me as I follow Christ." He said to others about being spiritually mature. Even in this section of scripture, he talked about reaching a level of maturity that they had already attained that in verse number 16. "Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." So he knows there's a closeness to Christ, there's a maturity in Christ that he has already experienced, but there's some things also that are waiting Paul, not only in eternity, but on this side as well. And Paul is still towards the end of his life. He's not going to live much longer in this world. He's still wanting to get closer and closer to Jesus. I think that's a great challenge to every single one of us. I think often in our Christian life, we get satisfied too easy. And I think Paul's example is really important to us. And maybe God will use that to help us this morning to realize some things in our life that we need to get back in line with the Scriptures. First of all, I want you to notice the relinquishing that Paul mentions here. The first several verses of our chapter number 3, Paul lists how he could be confident in the flesh, circumcised, worship God. All the things that are mentioned that Paul uses to say, hey, if anyone wanted to boast, I could boast after the flesh. Even before he got saved, Paul said when it came to the law, he was blameless. Now, I don't know how many of y'all can say that. I can't say that. Before I was saved, I broke the law. I couldn't say I was blameless. But Paul said, talking about, and I think he's being honest here, blameless. No one could come and accuse me of being a lawbreaker, Paul said. And yet, I'm willing to get rid of all of that so that I can focus my life on Christ. I'm not interested in any of those things. I relinquish all of those claims. If you and I are going to grow this coming year, we're going to have to do the same thing. There are too many Christians that are trying to earn something like the Jews were trying to earn something in Paul's day. Many of them would receive Christ, but they would try to mature by doing this, trying to earn it or work for it or sweat for it. One of Paul's biggest problems was trying to get those Christians to cling to Christ and continue to trust in Christ and not try to mature in their own strength. Just think about the epistles that he wrote. How many of y'all would say most of those epistles he's trying to get these Christians not to rely on the flesh but on the Spirit? Think about the epistle to the Galatians. Where were the Galatians going wrong? The Galatian churches. Not one church, but churches. Where were they going wrong? Where were all those churches going wrong? They accepted by faith Jesus Christ, but they said, you know, he saved me, but in order for me to live right, I've got to do this myself. Was that what they were doing? How many of y'all would say yes to that? And I want to warn you, many Christians today are doing the same thing. We are more like Cain than what we think we are. And what we have to do is give up on that effort to become righteous that way, because that's never going to produce Christ's likeness. All that could produce is pride and drive us further away from being what Jesus wants us to be. What was the Cain reference? The Cain reference is he's out there digging and watering, and planting and sweating and laboring. And he thinks, when I finish all of this, I can bring this to God. And God's going to say, I am so thrilled with what you brought me, Cain. How many of y'all remember that? And when Cain brought his offering of potatoes and carrots and the fruit of the ground to the Lord looked at it and he said, I'm not going to accept that. I don't want your works. I'm not interested in what you can produce. But when Abel brought his sacrifice, the blood sacrifice, God said, I'm well pleased with that. Why? Because God was saying, the blood sacrifice, you're trusting me. You're believing on me. You're depending on me. Cain, you're trusting yourself. You're believing in yourself. You're depending on yourself. I don't want you to depend on yourself. I want you to depend on me. And you and I have got to get to a place in our Christian life where we stop trying to be righteous in our own power and strength, and we start realizing the only way this can ever happen is if Jesus changes me. Amen. Paul said, I gave up on that life that I was pursuing. How many of y'all know he pursued it 100%? And then Paul turns right around and says, it was all waste. It was all dung. It was all that I did was nothing more than manure. Because it did not produce anything. The writer of Hebrews mentions this in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. In Hebrews 6, 1, he talks about dead works. How many of y'all remember reading that? Dead works. What are dead works? It's you trying to do something without Jesus. And that's where a lot of us are stuck. We know in order to be saved, I have to trust in Jesus. But preacher, after that, what? And then we try our best to live a Christian life and we get wore out with it. Why? Because we're no longer trusting Jesus to change us. How many of y'all know that's true? And you know what God will do when we're trying to trust ourselves and not trusting on Jesus? He will let us fall on our face. Because He don't want us trusting in ourselves. He wants us always relying on the Lord Jesus Christ. And say, preacher, how can I know if I'm focusing on someone other than Jesus? Well, your attempt would be to earn something, deserve something. And sometimes you might even pray like this, well, Lord, you know I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. Be real careful. Amen? Because you're offering up dead works. And Lord, you should accept all this. I'm not interested in any of that. I am interested in my son and what he did for you. Are you going to ignore my son? God help us not to do that. Amen?
Amen.
When you're judgmental towards others and their sins, while being glad that you don't sin in that way. Any of y'all feel? I mean, we sometimes it's so heartbreaking us in Christianity. Here's a Christian that's struggling, and what they need is help. And what they get is people just looking at them, judging them. And if you're looking at people and being highly critical of them and being glad that you're not sinning in that way, it might be that you're pursuing a righteousness that the Bible calls really dead works. When you try to transform your behavior or overcome a sin without looking to Jesus for His help. Any of y'all try to stop doing some certain thing? And boy, you really try hard and you try and you try and you try. And you don't get any victory over it. And then you bring it to Jesus and you say, Jesus, will you help me? And victory comes. Why would God allow that? Because if you can get victory without Jesus, you don't need Jesus. What was the purpose of His coming? Emmanuel, God with us. You don't need that. You can do it yourself. That's not what God wants. God wants you trusting Him. That don't mean that you sit on the couch and do nothing. That means you go forward trusting Jesus to transform your life. Are you struggling with sin? Bring that to Jesus. Earnestly bring that to Jesus. And then second, the realization. Paul said, I'm not what I want to be. You know, we have to get there as well. Because sometimes people overcome that first problem. I can't grow without Jesus' help. And they start relying on Jesus. And then they grow somewhat. And then they face another problem. They're a little bit spiritually mature and they're doing better than most other Christians, and they think, hey, I'm the cheese, you know, I'm something else now. Look at me. I mean, I pray and I fast and I give and I'm faithful and look at me. And Paul said no to that. I don't want just to have this level of Christianity. I want to go further with God. And you and I, you know, we're so easily satisfied. Right? One of the reasons we stop making spiritual progress is we get satisfied. We remember what we were like when we were lost. Remember our sins and our difficulties, our anger, our problems. And then we got saved and things changed and we see, man, I'm nowhere near what I once was and I'm better than most Christians that I know, and we get stuck there. That's how come sometimes pastors fall by the wayside, get off in sin, because they reach the level of spiritual maturity and they get satisfied with that. And they stop growing. And any Christian can make that mistake. Amen?
Amen.
God don't want you to make that mistake either. We have this sense of I have arrived. I've met some Christians that have told me that they have not sinned in so many years. Any of y'all ever met a Christian that way? He said, I haven't sinned in 10 years. I haven't sinned in... And every time they told me that, I thought, you just did. You just told a whopper. What does the Bible say about a man who says, I have not sinned? He said, you've deceived yourself and the truth is not in you. Paul said, I'm not stuck on where I am. I want to stretch out even further. I want to press toward the mark. I'm not going to sit here and wait until I get my head chopped off. We can, you know, a lot of times sitting in prison, most of us probably would have just said, okay, that's, when are y'all going to come? And he was writing and praying and sending out messages. Amen? Don't be satisfied where you're at. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Listen to this verse. For we dare not make ourselves as the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. Hey, look at me, follow me. Paul said, we dare not do that. But they, measuring themselves by themselves among themselves, are not wise. Are you ever tempted to do that? You look at this guy, says he's a Christian, and boy, he's really struggling. You say, man, I'm glad I'm not like that. If you're tempted to do that, immediately turn your gaze to Jesus and say, well, I'm not like that either. Get your eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Don't be satisfied where you're at. Get your eyes on Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
As long as you're satisfied with where you're at, you're never going to go anywhere. Amen?
That's right.
Preacher, I read my Bible through every year. I do this, I do that. Good. But you still need to become more like Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Then notice the release. Paul says this, forgetting those things which are behind. And if anybody needs to forget the things which were behind, it was the Apostle Paul. Now we know there may be two things he's talking about here. One is all that he mentioned earlier in chapter 3 here. Zealous of the law, all this he's doing. I'm not counting on that. I'm forgetting about all that. But there's also a lot that could have plagued Paul from being the Christian that God wanted him to be. And what were those things? How many Christians he had arrested and put in jail? How many Christians died because he wrote their death sentence? How much damage he did to the cause of Christ and Christ's kingdom. Could you imagine sitting there and realizing I've done all of this against Jesus, That would paralyze most people. They'd be afraid to get up anywhere and preach lest someone point the finger and said, "Hey, you had my dad killed." And Paul said, "Look, I can't live based on the past. Our failures are the focus of the devil. Every time we fail at something, the devil comes and he whispers it. You see what you did? See what you did? See who you are? See what you can do? Yeah, and boy, and he doesn't, he constantly just beats us up with our failures. Any of you ever get beat up with your failures? Can I tell you who's doing that? That's not Jesus. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's not even yourself. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses you to God, but he also accuses you to you. Because he knows how powerful discouragement is. And if he can get you feeling like you can't do anything, he's going to win a great victory in your life. I mean, look at me. I can't do this and I can't do that. And he'll just keep going on and on and on until he destroys you. If you listen to him, what you ought to do is resist him steadfast in the faith. Say, how can you do that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am loved of God. God calls me the beloved. Do you know that? You have to reject what the devil is saying and claim the promises and truths of God's word. How many of you are just beaten up by the devil about these things? Paul said, I'm not going to let him beat me up over it. And I think also Paul had to also set aside his successes. Have you ever met a Christian who said, you know, years ago I started this ministry. Ever met someone like that? I started this ministry, it went so well. When was that? It was 30 years ago. What have you done since then? Well, you know, nothing really, you know. But 30 years ago, I'm telling you, it was great. If you listen long enough, you'll find people just like, you say, preacher, why are they doing that? They are stuck on past victories. When there's so much more out there God wants to do with your life. There's some more churches that need to be built. There's some more doors that need to be knocked on. There's a lot more tracts that need to be passed out. We've all been encouraged and blessed by watching what God's doing, Brother Brian, and the Her Heart Assisted Living. How many of you are blessed by that? Hearing those reports, seeing what God's doing there? That's amazing. By the way, most people raise their hand, right? But I've told Brian before, there are hundreds of places in Jacksonville just like Her Heart Assisted Living. What Brian's doing could be done multiplied. Is that true?
Yes.
Multiplied. The need is great. Don't get stuck on the past. Amen? Paul said, I'm not going to do that. And then finally, Paul concludes with this truth. I think Paul said, I'm not going to be satisfied where I'm at. I'm going to press on. I'm going to reach forward. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul said, there's some things ahead of me that I want to get a hold of. I'm reaching for things that are right out there in the future, right out there ahead of me. And there's no telling what God wants to do with you in 2026. This may be the year our Lord Jesus comes back. And wouldn't it be a blessing if he comes back and he finds us reaching forward? instead of just sitting down and saying, okay, God, I'm just going to wait for you to come. No, he said, occupy till I come. That means be busy. Not sit on a seat, but be busy about my work until I come back. You find Paul reaching. Here's the important truth. If you're satisfied, you're not going to be reaching. There's no telling what God wants to do with your life if you would just put the effort in again that you once put in. That is praying about things and looking to Jesus and saying, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to see some soul get saved. Use my life, Lord. Make a difference. Get glory out of me. Amen? I sent out a devotional thought this week out of Proverbs. I've accepted Brother Brian's challenge reading Proverbs. One chapter. In Proverbs chapter 2, I noticed something I thought was interesting. He writes, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifted up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou have understanding, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And often this is what we do. We receive his words, we hide his commandments, we incline our ear, we apply our heart, and then we stop. And we don't plead with God and beg with God. God, please help me to understand this. Please let me see this. Please open up my heart. Please show me the truths of your word. We don't cry after it. We don't lift up our voice for it. And we certainly don't dig for it as a great treasure. When's the last time you opened your Bible and you just kept digging and digging and trying to find some truth and something that helped you, and you compared this scripture with that scripture? One of the most blessed things I did when I was young, they gave me a Bible after graduating, and in the center of that Bible on each page was a list of certain passages of scripture. I didn't know what they were. And then as I read, I noticed there's a 1 or an A or a B. And then someone pointed out, look, that center column in your Bible there, that verse, go to verse 29, you'll see that 1 there. And that'll give you another passage of scripture. And once I learned that, I was gone. Because they would send me to another passage that was similar to the passage I just read. And then I would go to that passage and find more passages that were similar to the passage that I just read. And it was amazing to me how many times the Bible would talk about this subject all throughout it. And I started growing because I started comparing Scripture with Scripture. There's no telling what God would show you from His Word or help you understand if you beg God, God, help me to be a student of the Bible. Help me to understand the Word of God. I don't want to just do the surface type things. I want more of your Word than I've ever had before, and I want to dig for it like digging for silver. How many think if we approached our Bibles like that, we'd get a whole lot more out of it? It's up to you, though, what you're going to do about it. You know, this year could be an extremely spiritually successful year for every single one of us under one condition. That we reach out further. That we keep pressing on. And we're not satisfied, but we want to understand more of what Jesus Christ has revealed to us. And we want to be more like Jesus than we ever have before. Amen? Amen. Now the way it starts is by first putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You can't become more like Jesus until you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Doesn't that make sense? If you haven't been saved, you need to be saved. And you get saved by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen? Not working for it. He's done that work. But by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, don't be satisfied with just a ticket to heaven. Jesus is coming soon. Amen?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if it is 2026? I don't know. You know, you have people all the time predicting what year it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to be this year, but I would be thrilled if it was. Amen?
Amen.
But let's be eagerly growing in His grace and knowledge when He comes back. Amen? And it may start with a trip to the altar this morning saying, Lord, don't let me waste this year. Let me press forward in my Christian life. I want to be more like Jesus at the end of this year than at any time in my Christian life. And God can help you do that if you'll trust Him. Would you do that? Let's stand for prayer. Father, please help us this morning. I know, Lord, the message applies to me. I thought about it as I was...